You're hearing voices.
Do you whistle?
I can't whistle anymore. In the last, say, the last 6 or 7 months. Why can't I whistle now?
From NPR, this is Hearing Voices with About Aging, I Thought You'd Never Ask.
I'm laying here while the reporter is establishing contact with the patient.
Hellos, goodbyes, and everything in between. From learning and mourning to dressing and dancing.
And I've learned to ask people to dance in various and sundry languages. For example, in Japanese is Odori Mashuka and Korean is Chukta.
I've been asking, I even asked my mom, what is it being getting old? How do you notice you're getting old?
About Aging, I Thought You'd Never Ask, from hearingvoices.com.
I'm 76 years old and I'm still...
What are you working towards?
I learned how to swim. I've never learned how to swim. Yeah.
So you're taking swim lessons?
Yeah, I'm going to try. Because in the other days I used to smoke and I couldn't breathe. But now I don't smoke anymore, so I ought to do all right underwater.
This is About Aging, I Thought You'd Never Ask. A collection of stories on growing old from Hearing Voices. The best of public radio, supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm David Greenberger of the Duplex Planet. For the past 30 years, I've been meeting and conversing with old people.
I even asked my mom, what is it being getting old? How do you notice you're getting old? Will you pray more? You can't pick up something that's a little over 20 pounds? Is that what it is?
Our conversations have become books, performances, and recordings. In the next hour, you'll hear these and other stories about aging. Sons and daughters watching parents age. Old men and women pondering their later years. We'll hear about vigor and weakness, romance and surprise, dying and living.
So far, I don't think I had an enemy in my life. I never had a fight or anything with nobody.
Bob and Ray were not old when they created most of their memorable characters in the 1950s, but Ray Goulding did delight in playing the part of old ladies.
We have a little surprise planned for today. Two people all set in opposite studios, Ray. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Whirly and her brother, Mr. Whirly, mm-hmm. whom they haven't seen. They haven't seen each other for 67 years. And we've flown Mrs. Whirly here. And Mr. Whirly lives right here in New York.
He took a bus to get
yes.
here.
We have them in separate studios, and we think that they're going to really have a big surprise in store for them, thanks to us.
Why don't you talk to Mrs. Whirly first?
All right. Well, would you bring in Mrs. Whirly, please? Come on in, my dear.
Come on, step lively, lady, will you?
Oh, wait, she's 87 years old.
Well, I don't care, Bob. We only have 45
minutes. Well, I know, let's be kind to her. Right over
Come
here.
Come on, lady, step along
Come
here.
Come on, mother, right over here.
Thanks, Scott.
Sit down, if you will. You are Miss Tabitha Whirly, is that right?
Tabitha
Whirly.
Yes, a lot of people make that mistake.
And where do you make your home, Miss Whirly?
I live in Bondurant, Wyoming.
That's a wonderful country out there, I know.
Yes.
And you are 87 years young, is that right?
That's right.
And you were flown here by Bob and Ray. And do you have any idea why you're here in this studio today?
I don't have the remotest idea why I'm here.
Is there anyone...
Will you speak up, lady, please?
Oh, she's speaking up, Ray. Don't...
Great Scott.
Do you have anybody that you would particularly like to see after, let's say, a great number of years? Someone you used to know?
No, I don't suppose.
Anybody in your family, Miss Whirly, that you particularly...
My family, let's see. No. No, it's been so long since I've seen any of them anyway. I don't suppose I'd know them if I fell over them anyway.
Do you remember your brother, Frank?
Sure.
How long is it since you saw him?
Oh, let's see. It must be... Well, 70 years.
70 years. We thought it was only 66, but
mm-hmm.
it's 70.
It's 70.
Well, we have a little surprise arranged for you, Miss Whirly. We like to do this now and then with the excess cash that we have from our expense account. And I wonder if you'd open the door over there and bring in our next guest.
All right, come on, will you, pal? Step along.
Now, Mr. Frank Worley is facing his sister, Tabitha, for the first time in 66 years. Let's hear what they have to say.
Well, what'd you want me here for?
This is your sister, Tabitha, Mr. Worley.
Oh, hello, Tabitha. Hello, Frank.
All right, now will you go over and sit down in our studio audience, please? Knowing that we've made two people happier. Now they have.
Why don't you sit together in the same row? They're not even sitting in the same row.
Oh, and you probably have a lot to talk over, don't you, Miss Worley?
Well, I suppose, but it's been so long.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Worley, you have anything to say to your
sister? No. No, you've changed.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that we've...
You mind if I sit in another row?
No, you can sit anywhere you want. It's
where do you live now, Tabitha? Bondurant, Wyoming.
And so as they exchange anecdotes of days gone by...
Wait a minute, I better get out of here. I have an appointment. I have to have my teeth fixed. Would you mind if I run along?
No,
you go ahead.
All right, and so we have rejoined the Whirlies, and we know that we've added a little bit of human kindness.
Is that why you flew me here?
Yes, you can go back any time now.
Well, I might as well run along home now. There's probably a plane leaving. Bye.
Goodbye, Miss Worley.
Isn't that heartwarming?
It certainly is. It did something to me.
Showtime.
I love your voice.
Can you understand it?
Yeah.
I can only hear it.
Say something.
How are you this evening?
Can you hear yourself?
Absolutely.
Adrian Leon LeBlanc, my dad and my namesake. His keen joy in observing people in the world is the reason I became a journalist.
I'm laying here while the reporter is establishing contact with the patient.
My father was born on June 28, 1917. He was a traveler, a knight of the open road, as he called it, hopping trains during the Depression, shipping off to Italy during World War II, and for most of my childhood, canvassing factories as a union organizer. Cancer was a journey that blindsided him.
I'm not sure what trip we're on.
So what trip are we on?
I don't know. We're on a trip of exploration into the feelings of I don't know what you'd call me. I'm in my 80s. And it's an exploration of my physical condition, which is very serious, about which we have no definitive answer. And I think only time will resolve it.
My father's propped up in a hospital bed in the living room of the house he built with his own hands. He's tucked in beneath a comforter. His body's so slight, he barely makes a lump under the down.
I wonder what the hell I weigh.
I'd say you're pretty skinny.
Yeah, I would say 100 pounds maybe.
Yeah. Now, what was your average weight?
My average weight was around 160, 163.
Yeah. You want to close your eyes a little?
A little, yeah. But I won't go anywhere. I'll stay right here, okay?
Okay. Let me take your glasses. I love you very much.
I love you very much.
And just bang the spoon if you need me.
I sure will. Hi, sweetie.
Morning, Mom.
Morning, Adrian.
Morning, hon.
My mom, Eve, and my dad have been married for 50 years. He made her coffee every morning until he was too weak to stand.
I love you.
Love you. Have you good sleep, huh?
I did.
Why don't you make yourself a coffee or something?
I will. Quite a morning.
Yeah.
It's February. My father has been bedridden in the living room for a month now. It's always been his favorite place in the house. Before he got sick, he'd sit here in his armchair every day. He liked to read the newspaper or stare out the picture window. He'd wave us over to share whatever he was seeing. Blue jays, squirrels, the color of the maple leaves. Now his hospital bed is positioned where his armchair once sat.
You looked a little squished up to me.
I moved around a little.
Do you want to try to get your butt up a little? Or are you okay?
This is good.
My father is the center of our attention. My mom puts all her energy into his creature comforts, ironing his sheets and pajamas, finding food that he can eat, and the spaces between they visit.
I was looking at all those pictures last night, and I thought our children had a pretty nice childhood.
Yeah,
you... A lot of happy times.
We did have a lot of happy times.
We had busy times.
Yeah.
The house feels a lot like it did in my childhood, though now it's my father we're feeding, bathing, tucking in. But he's still my dad in every way he can be. He agrees to do leg exercises he knows are useless. because I can't accept that I'll never walk again.
Then ready?
One, two.
Good. And let it down.
I'll do one more.
Yeah?
Okay. One.
And bend it up.
Okay.
Great. Great.
One of my dad's few remaining pleasures is having his hair washed.
Don't be afraid to use your famous scrub.
We rig a makeshift drain and use buckets of water to shampoo it in his bed.
Is the water running into the buckets or whatever
it
is?
Yeah, it's running where it's supposed to.
Good. Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is that noise?
The water... That's the water draining safely away from your bed.
No.
Close your eyes, Daddy. Because this one's going to spill in your eyes a little bit. There. Okay, what I'm going to do, Daddy, now is I just want to put your shirt on so you don't get a chill.
Okay.
I need to be near my father constantly. There are moments that caring for him feels spiritual. He's wasting away, but I experience an almost religious reverence at the sight of his flesh. For the first time ever, I want to have a child, a desire that I'm sure comes from wanting, literally, to hold on to the life in him.
Here we go again, talking. And I'm recorded, I think. I hope I am. By my daughter. Oh, I got my teeth out and everything. Talk about miscombulated. Or whatever the goddamn word.
Discombobulated.
Discombobulated. How's that?
Can you spell it? That's what you'd make me do as a child.
D-I-S.
My father delighted in language. His only rule with us as kids was if we didn't know the meaning of a word, we had to look it up.
I wonder what it is when I'm so intrigued with words. Oh, well.
You always love words. Yeah.
My dad taught me that language was a powerful tool. He wished he'd gone to college because he felt it would have made him a better communicator and able to do more good in the world. He was a gentleman, but he could be fierce whenever he saw anyone mistreated. Certain things always stirred his anger. Shopping malls open on Sundays when laborers needed rest. The memory of his mother, who was a tailor, sewing at their kitchen table late into the night. Workers were his people, and he devoted his life to making their lives better.
I hope when I'm an old woman, if I'm lucky enough to get to be an old woman,
yeah.
I hope I will have brought joy to people's lives like you did.
Oh, you already have.
But I mean, like, you also fought for people, Daddy.
I was one of many.
I know. You're the one I love the most.
I'm the one that you knew the most, yeah?
You're the one I knew the most, and you're the one I love the most.
You love the most and knew the most.
Yeah, love the most first.
Yeah.
You're so funny.
You're so funny.
Sweet dreams. I love you.
Love you too.
Signing off.
Any chance I got, I spoke about my father. My pending loss gave rise to new friendships as some of the older ones gave way. Grief scares people, and my pain was so raw, I think it was difficult for some of my friends to tolerate. I connected best to others who were wounded, many of them strangers. Serious loss brings you into one of the world's silent fraternities.
Oh, have I been sleeping?
You've been sleeping about 8 hours. You woke up a few times.
It's March now. My father's sleeping more. He needs more morphine. My mother's attempts to get him to eat subside. The house feels heavy. We slowed down.
Is your mother sleeping?
She's dead to the world. She was very sad today. I think she's going to miss you.
Yeah.
Must be scary, I would think. All those years you get so used to being with someone.
Or calling somebody for something. Or sharing.
Like cuddling with someone.
Sure.
It's becoming harder to record, but my father encourages me. Our voices are the ground we've lived on, so we keep talking, even about his leaving me.
Daddy, is your chest hurting when I'm hugging you?
No.
I feel so sad. I feel like so many changes are happening.
Yeah.
They're just changing and I can't change it from changing.
Some things you can't change, yeah.
I'm going to be fine, though. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm very, very strong.
I know you are, honey.
I just feel like you're my, you're like my soulmate. You know?
Mm-hmm. We just love each other.
Some comfort I am. Clinging to a sick man in a hospital bed, crying on his
skinny chest.
What's silly? And you're recording it all besides.
Illness transforms the things you most fear into the things you crave and would hold on to if you could. Like my father moving to the living room. No one in my family wanted to replace his armchair with the hospital bed. And now no one wants the hospital bed to go.
You can go to sleep. I'll watch you go to sleep.
No. I'm just going to close my eyes.
Do that. Go ahead. I'm just going to sit with you quietly.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be quiet.
A week passes. He has only the strength to speak in whispers. I absorb every word.
Have you been open my leg?
You want to move your legs?
Yeah. I've been open my leg.
You've always been moving your legs, Daddy. You've walked a lot of miles.
Oh.
You walked miles, remember? You hopped trains.
When?
Oh, from when you were a young man. You want to see your legs?
Yeah.
Okay. They're very skinny.
Yeah.
Look. Can you see them?
Okay. Where's my teeth?
Your teeth are in the bathroom. Your legs are attached to your hobbledy hips. Where are you? Front room, that's right.
You were kind.
It's easy to be kind to you.
You were gentle.
Gentle?
Gentle looking.
You look so beautiful, Daddy.
You were gentle.
In his last days, I sit for hours on the rug by his bed and listen to him breathe. My mother sits on a chair by his side, and we try to do what for me will never be complete. We say goodbye to my dad.
Daddy. It's Adrian Nicole.
It's a pretty name, Adrian Nicole, isn't it? And I insisted it be spelled the way your name is spelled, A-D-R-I-A-N, because I loved you. Are you in pain?
Daddy, it's getting, the sun is setting, and the trees look so beautiful in the backyard. The little red house that you helped build me, I used to play in. Yep. I love you.
I'll take a kiss. I'm holding your hand, okay?
You're such a good man, Daddy. Such a good man.
You can let go.
And did you work? All done.
My father, Adrian Leon LeBlanc, died in his living room on March 21st, 2003.
That was The Ground We Lived On, written and narrated by Adrian Nicole LeBlanc, and produced by Sarah Kramer for Sound Portraits Productions. And bobandray.com is the website for the comedy duo you heard at the top of the hour. You're listening to Hearing Voices with About Aging, I Thought You'd Never Ask.
Do you whistle?
I can't whistle anymore. In the last 6 or 7 months. Why can't I whistle now? I don't know why. Same mouth, I breathe out the same way and no whistle.
No, we never learned to whistle, girls. Oh, the fellas did. The fellas whistled.
And the girls never whistled.
Mm-mm.
Whistling girls and crowing hens always come to some bad ends.
And you whistle?
Yes.
Oh, gee, no. My granddaughter whistles. She's 8.
And I find myself humming a lot. Whistle while you work, not while you retire. If you retire, you hum.
Those whistlers live on Martha's Vineyard and were edited by Sarah Yam for Atlantic Public Media. The music we've heard is by Terry Adams from the Duplex Planet Hour CD. I became friends with Larry Green in the last years of his life when he lived in a Boston nursing home. He had come to believe that anyone who said hello or even smiled at him must be an old friend. He'd say to me, October 12, 1910, how old does that make me, Dave? I'd answer that he was 70. That always surprised him. I wrote the lyrics to this next song based on knowing Larry. It's co-written by Chandler Travis and recorded by his delightfully named Chandler Travis Philharmonic.
Hello there, I know you. At least I guess I think I do. Perhaps you are a good friend of mine. Long ago, where you from? Were we friends when we were young? Tell me all you know, please tell me. What's your name? My old friend, sit right down. I'm so glad you came to town. Excuse me, I just can't place your name. See my friends, this is good. They're all from my neighborhood. While I don't know how we all got here, this is home. How's that? How's your mom? The Oldsmobile, is it still running? Sure as hot, that's alright. Take it slow, it must be August. Thanks a lot for what you brought. I put it away, but I just don't know where it goes. See, I tend to my things, but there's so few things to tend. I've got boxes of stuff somewhere else. And everywhere that I see, seems like someplace new to me. Everyone that comes in says hello. This is home.
Coming up, music, elderly Mexican-Americans, and more glorious moments and observations from people in the last years of their lives. That's in a minute, when we return with Hearing Voices, stories about aging I thought you'd never ask.
Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. From NPR, this is HearingVoices.com.
Welcome back to About Aging from Hearing Voices. I'm David Greenberger of the Duplex Planet, and this part of the show is on music, dancing, and getting old.
Hi, this is Dave Alvin, and this is a song I wrote about my old man. The man in the bed is in me. Now I slipped out the door and I'm running free. We had a moment on the day he died where he was begging me to take him out of the nursing home. And I couldn't do it, you know. the bed is. And so that's really kind of where the song came from. And these trembling hands, they're not mine. Now my hands are strong and steady all the time. Swing a sledgehammer. He was a tough old coot. He rode the rails out to California from South Bend, Indiana. He fought in World War II. He was a union organizer after the war. He was a great guy, you know. Now the nurse over there doesn't know that I ain't some helpless old so-and-so. Could have broken her heart not that long ago. When I'm singing a song like Man in the Bed, I have to go back to where I was when I wrote it and what I was feeling and where I was sitting and what I had had for dinner that evening, you know, whatever it was. I have to go there to keep the song real. And so, yeah, it gets pretty emotional. And we don't, in my band, played very much for two reasons. One, when we're playing in a barroom situation, it takes you a couple songs after you play that one to dig out of the hole, you know, that you put people in. No pun intended. But the main reason is it rips a couple of the guys in the band apart. One of the guys in my band hates me for writing that song, you know, because it brings up his father's passing, and so yeah, we don't do it that much. So don't believe what the doctors say. They're just making things up so they can get paid. Somebody came up to me at a show and said that it was a great song about denial. And if it's a song about denial for you, great. You know, but for me, it's a song about survival, you know, and even on your deathbed, surviving. You know, if you're laying in some miserable nursing home in a miserable bed, I know when my time comes to face that, I will be living in my mind somewhere far away. 'Cause the man in the bed isn't me. I slipped out the door and I'm finally free. Young and wild like I'll always be. He'd been through a period of dementia, but then that day, the last day of his life, we sat and had a wonderful conversation. I was really kind of blessed and lucky and all that to have that sort of last conversation where we wrapped everything up, you know. And he died that evening.
The man in the bed isn't me.
I'm Richard Craig, and I'm a dance host on cruise ships. The dance hosts are there for all of the ladies who are traveling independently. Some of them danced when they were young, and they got married, and perhaps their husband didn't like to dance. And if the husband has died, they come on board and they say, oh my God, I want to dance again, you know. And they love doing it. We dance about 6 to 8 hours a day. The rumba, the waltz, the foxtrot, cha-cha, and mambo. Those are sort of the basics. And I've learned to ask people to dance in various and sundry languages. For example, in Japanese is odori mashuka, and Korean is chupta. And then, of course, voulez-vous danser avec moi, and so on. That's an easy one, you know. So many people say, I can't dance, and I don't believe that in anybody. If you just sway back and forth, you're dancing. There was a lady on the Queen Elizabeth II from the Bronx, and she was in a wheelchair. The first time I saw her, I walked over and I said, how about a little dance? She said, I thought you'd never ask. So I grabbed her around the back very tightly, lifted her out of the chair, and just held her against me, and we just swayed back and forth. Well, she was ecstatic. So, you know, to make someone happy like that, boy, that gets you. And it's wonderful to do. They're enjoying life, that's all. That's why we're there.
I don't play now, but I've been musical all my life. My family's been very musical, but I finally sold my trombones when I moved this last time. And I gave my guitar to my granddaughter. We don't have a piano anymore, I don't have a keyboard anymore, and I don't sing anymore. I can still whistle, though. When I was in college, I did an apprenticeship with a newspaper, and I'd be walking around whistling, and people would say, "What's wrong with you?" Nothing's wrong, I just feel good. I just whistle all the time. Even now, I'll be around the house, and some song will hit me in the daytime, and I'll have that song most of the day. Sometimes I'm unconscious of it, and other times I'm aware that, hey, I'm back on that same song. What's this song about today?
That was based on a conversation I had with Bill Klein. The music was by Three Leg Torso from the album Whispers, Grins, Blood Loss, and Handshakes. The dance instructor Richard Craig's story is part of the StoryCorps Oral History Project. And Dave Alvin's Man in the Bed was from the series What's in a Song, produced by Hal Cannon and Taki Telenidis for the Western Folklife Center. In 2006, I produced a program called Growing Old in East L.A., featuring the area's elderly Mexican-Americans. It had original music by Luis Perez and David Hidalgo of Los Lobos.
I love the music. I love music. I'm dancing more the time over here in the senior centers. When I have a chance, and I have money to pay for good concerts, I'll be there.
I love the rock and roll music.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to look at the programs that have those rock and roll, not those wild things that they're moving all around, but, you know, just rock and roll, soft music. I just listen to what's on the radio, on TV, I mean, yeah, amateur nights and things like that.
The only thing what I like is music. That's it, but I don't know why, but not from Mexico. I love the music, Rolling Stones, Beatles, Jimi Hendrix.
I know almost all of them. A Bing Crosby song, you know, when they start out singing like, "I surrender, dear, we played the game of stay away, it cost me more than I can say, cause deep down in my heart I say, I surrender, dear." Well, there's more to it all the way through, but almost every song I know of is
nice. I like it too much.
You play?
Yes, oh. I got a guitar in my house.
I love music, all kinds of music. And I used to love to dance, love to dance. But I got rheumatoid arthritis about 5 years ago, and it settled on the bottoms of my feet. So now I can listen to the music, but I don't dance.
La la la, la 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 la. Yeah, see? In my house only.
Yeah, you sing
not on the street. No, 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 no.
Music is, in my opinion, is international language. We could communicate. You meet be German, Chinese, Japanese, whatever. As long as you have music, something to enjoy yourselves. If you like to dance, but go ahead, dance. I don't dance, but I like to listen to music.
Only Mexicans, yeah. Not in English, or in Spanish. La 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 la. Yeah, yeah.
Mexican music got popular, but when I was young, I used to go to American music and hear the big bands on the television, things like this.
Oh, let me tell you, I went with my friends to the Hollywood Palladium, but we couldn't afford to take a girl.
They used to charge like 25 cents or 50 cents. We'd go out by ourselves and go to the floor stand, you know, and sit way in front, just listen to the music. Frank Sinatra, Ray Eberly with Glenn Miller, you know.
I can't dance. I used to nobody seemed to like to dance, and I wasn't bad looking. I couldn't dance. But I went to Mexico, to Tijuana one time with a group from, when I worked at Bullock's, and we went to a dance, and this man asked me to dance, and I said, I can't dance. He said, no problem, I teach dancing. 15 minutes passed, and he said, you can't dance. I joined a bowling team when I worked, and they even asked me to stop. I have no rhythm, and it takes rhythm to do those things. I mean, I really tried, and they were polite to me for 3 weeks, and that was, they said, come and join us, but not bowling.
Yeah, I like music. Hear the music, I dance, everything, but right now I not dance good because I had a transplant. My knee, pues, hurt me when I dance. That's good.
Da la 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 da. La 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 la.
I like guitar. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I used to go dancing all the time.
Really?
Every little party, Teresa was there. With my relatives, you know, my brother has a big family, and on their birthdays they get married, and they used to invite me. My husband never wanted to go, so I would go. They would come for me, and they always used to have parties. I used to enjoy going out with my friends. I used to have a lot of friends, and mostly all of them were Mexican group of musicians, and they used to have little parties at home at that time. Used to have parties at home, nobody interfere or anything. And all the time they used to invite me, and here I go.
My brothers always had music on. Right now, I'm a collector of music. I like swing, jazz, popular, operatic, just music. I just hear it and it just turns me on.
I used to get up early in the morning and put my radio on, listen to American music or Mexican music, and here I used to dance with a broom, finish my work, and then go out and water my flowers or whatever, but no more.
You like guitar? The guitar is, I like it too much. Tan, 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 tan. Oh, yeah, it's con tan, 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 tan.
You're listening to Growing Old in East L.A., part of the Hearing Voices program, About Aging, I Thought You'd Never Ask.
What do I dream? I can't tell you. I don't know. If I dream at nighttime, I cannot remember the dream in the morning. I'll just say, you know what, I dreamt Mom, my mother, and I could have a feeling of happiness.
I dream my family of friends that have passed in the last 10 years, and they're alive. I dream my wife, we're alive and we're doing things. The closest people to me, I dream about.
I lost my father, and I dream my father a lot. And I enjoy it because I feel I'm communicating with him.
Ain't got time to dream. I don't dream. And yet there's a lot of people who dream all the time. They live in dreams, a lot of people. They live in dreams.
Well, you know, I have this recurring dream of always, it's always climbing. I'm climbing up stairs, I'm climbing up a mountain. And the thing I want most, when I get to the point where I look over and there's always a stream of water or something, and I'm on the other side. What I want is over there. there's something I want that I'm not getting, that I'm always dreaming about. And I, you know, it's just like I'm there, climbing up there, then I'm tired. I'm tired. I can't go any further. And here across this stream is what I want. I want it over on the other side. But, you know, always a dream.
The only dream I ever remember, I'd had an operation. I was still in the hospital, and I dread spiders. I hate spiders. Were on my back. And the next thing I know, I was dreaming, right? It was a nightmare. And the next thing I know, the nurse was shaking me because I was screaming. So that's the only dream I remember.
I don't drink too much, no? I do a lot of praying before I go to sleep. I pray a lot. Very, very few, very far in between do I have any dreams.
You know, I dream a lot, but little pieces of that I don't even know. Little pieces of dreams that I can't make out sometimes. Like this morning, I can't believe it. I was dreaming, and I said to myself, why am I dreaming this? I was dreaming about a boyfriend. My first boyfriend I ever had.
Sometimes I see me dancing with Ginger Rogers.
Ginger Rogers.
I dream about the happenings of the day. Just what happened in the day. I don't dream about nothing. In fact, I don't let nothing in the past worry me because I don't live in the past. Live for what I can do today. Whatever I can accomplish today is fine.
Mimi Hunt is another resident of East L.A., a woman in her 90s who I met at the Highland Park Center. She started out telling me about the Los Angeles River and then focused on a memory of teapot lids. She found them on the riverbanks after the rains, and they're still vivid to her now.
I can remember back when I was six, and the farmers had the water running in little, you know, little grooves. As children, we used to get in it and float down a little ways, you know, because it was only about 6 inches deep. We lived right by the river. Our parents warned us to stay out because every once in a while when there was a rain in the mountains, oh, you'd get this flood. It would just come down just like a wall. And then it must have been by a little teapot factory because when the water receded, there would be little lids. Not the teapots, but just the lids. And we used to gather them as children, you know.
And what'd you do with all these teapots?
We saved them like seashells.
The name of this program is Growing Old in East L.A. I like the word old. We are all growing old. These people go to senior centers, but to me, they are not defined by their age.
I'm fairly healthy for my age. I'm going to be 75 today. I am 75 today.
Today?
Yeah, today's my birthday.
Oh.
I was the last of the Mohicans. I don't think Mama expected me.
I come from a family of 11. Two of my sisters are in a home for elderly. They have a little dementia, but they're all right. They can still remember who I am. When I go visit them, I ask them, hey, do you know who I am? They say, yeah, you're my baby brother, because I'm the youngest. See? You're my baby brother, Danny. And all my life, I've been the baby brother. I'm 70 years old now, and I'm still a baby brother. I'm still a baby.
I look like I go fast. The years go fast. Go fast, yeah. Faster and faster.
I've been asking, I even asked my mom, what is it being getting old? How do you notice you're getting old? Will you pray more? You can't pick up something that's a little over 20 pounds? Is that what it is? Physically, I understand what's getting old. But it's mentally, this, what is it?
In thinking about their lives, some people look back and others look forward to something new that lies ahead.
I'm 76 years old and I'm still...
What are you working towards?
I learned how to swim. I've never learned how to swim. Yeah.
So you're taking swim lessons?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
What?
Because in the other days, I used to smoke and I couldn't breathe. But now I don't smoke anymore, so I ought to do all right underwater.
So far, I don't think I had an enemy in my life. I never had a fight or anything with nobody.
The thing I regret is my wife was going to retire. She got cancer. She was going to retire in June. She got sick in January, and she passed away in October. She lasted 10 months. She had ovarian cancer. We had a good 6-8 months together in remission. She was, we were married 43 years. This year would have been 50. Would have been our 50th anniversary.
I was married 63 years when my husband went with Jesus. So I'm 80 now. 18 when I got married. My husband didn't smoke or drink. He's the most wonderful man. And he died of throat cancer because he was a spray painter on plumbing stuff. He was a good worker, wonderful man. Everybody loved John. He was a wonderful man.
Well, he's good now. I live alone. My husband died in 1985. Yeah, but I live alone. I like it.
It's okay?
Yeah, okay.
There are no simple rules for living a long and happy life. Instead, we have insights from those who have already lived a long time.
My advice, to have patience, to share whatever they have, to have faith in God, a religion, some kind of religion. Faith and hope is the main thing, and share with each other.
If I had all the money I had when I used to be drinking and set them up for everybody, I'd be rich, you know. Really.
We can get that back.
Or all the smoking that I did with all that, if I'd have saved all that money from smoking,
I know.
I'd be rich. But then if I'd be rich, I wouldn't know what to do with the money. I've never envied other people's their cars or their what they have and everything. As long as I have what I have, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. You don't want to live in the past. Sure. I mean, you know, it's already gone. Got to look to the future.
David,
do you think it's sort of
every person eats and sleeps and goes to the bathroom? I'm going to tell you something. We're all the same. The only thing is our minds are different and we think different.
Yeah.
There's so much to know that I don't know that I feel humble. On the other side, what I do know, most people, and what I've experienced, most people have never experienced and know what I know.
My life hasn't always been a bed of roses. Definitely it hasn't. But I take what comes and run with it, right?
Yeah.
The best I can.
To be a good guy, an honest, decent fella, and that's one of the most important things. So you can be trusted. Mm-hmm. Well, that was my theory of being a good fella.
I thought this world would be better because of the wars that we've gone through, right? I thought that the world would learn and governments would learn. But no, look where we're at now. God, I thought things would be better here. So you want to leave a better world for your family and friends. And now I'm coming around the home stretch, and I still don't see it.
Actually, I wish I could end a lot of the things that are going on, but you can't change the world. So I just, you know, enjoy and live my life. Now is as it comes, Monday at a time.
I learned not to worry about something that I cannot solve. People worry for anything, for nothing. But can you solve the problem if you worry about it? The way I see it, I don't think so.
That's what keeps you young. Being on the go, meeting people. I love to talk to people. I'm a great people watcher. Hey, I'm watching people, especially these younger generations, what their reaction is to what ours were. You know, the different styles of it. And yet, these kids today are doing some of the stuff that we did 50 years ago. Yeah, it's a cycle. I wish it's successful, whatever you came out here for. Well, just get it done.
Amazingly enough, I just came out here to sit around and talk with people like you. Nice work, huh?
Yeah, if you can get paid for it.
So, are we through?
If you're afraid of what lies ahead, your own aging and death, You can make it less scary by getting to know something about it. And the best way to do that is by simply meeting some old people. Seeing family members age often makes us mourn the loss of who they used to be instead of seeing them as they are. So let's trade parents or grandparents for a day. Don't give up study. It makes you brighter and smarter. I listen to radio. That's the way I get the news. No matter how old you get, don't give up study. This makes life shiny, bright, wonderful. That's the way it is. Don't give up study. I can tell you for Europe plenty things, and I can tell you plenty from America. I'm all alone here, but I'm never lonesome. Never. When I sit here, I can study natural history. The whole world is yours. Study natural history. You can study the people, you can study the trees, the birds, everything under the sun. And that makes you have a good feeling. You never feel lonesome. Never. That keeps you well. I never give up. Never. I'm sick and my age and all, but I never stop studying. I still study. I study Australia, I study Chicago, everything. I study for everything under the sun. It's God's place and you never feel lonesome, never. You have no time. I haven't got time to be lonesome, never. Anytime you can come, I have a hello for you. That came from an afternoon I spent talking with a 103-year-old woman named Bertha Jalich in New York City. The music was by pianist Elizabeth Woodbury Cassius, accompanied by cellist Jeffrey Parker. Growing Old in East L.A. had music by Louis Perez and David Hidalgo and was produced by Barbara Price, Jay Allison, Vicky Merrick, and myself. I'm David Greenberger of DuplexPlanet.com. Links to all the producers you heard in this hour are at HearingVoices.com. This hour was produced by Ann Hepperman and Kara Oler.
Hearing Voices is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a private corporation funded by the American people, and the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes a great nation deserves great art. Our producers are Scott Carrier, Ann Hepperman, Larry Massett, and Kara Oler. Our intern is Max Darum. Mix engineer is Robin Wise of SoundImagery.com. Executive producer is Barrett Golding. From NPR, National Public Radio, this is HearingVoices.com.